human form of life and have the opportunity to come here even. There's only one Radha Kunda in the entire universe. The general presentation of Srila Prabhupada, his books, speaking, his tapes, and his example, it's not clear whether Prabhupada bathed in Radha Kunda or not himself, because no one, of course, knows what he did before ISKCON, because no one was watching. He allowed us, in 74, we had our first Mayapur festival, everybody bathed in Radha Kunda. In 75, we had Mayapur Vrindavan festival, we all bathed in Radha Kunda. Prabhupada's permission and guidance. In 76, we bathed in Radha Kunda, Prabhupada's permission and guidance. In 77, we bathed in Radha Kunda, Prabhupada's permission and guidance. What happened in 1976, among a few devotees, there was a swimming competition in Radha Kunda, yeah. The first international swimming competition, Radha Kunda Olympics, swimming Olympics, all the world. International, not just Commonwealth Games. It's international. So what happened was that devotees would stand on the banks, and the French devotees and the German devotees, and English devotees, American devotees, and they would have races who could race swim across the Radha Kunda faster than the other. And then they'd have eliminations and things like that. You know, runner-up and winner. And I think the first prize was a kilo of rubbery, and second prize was a half a kilo of rubbery, and third prize was 250 grams of rubbery. Something like that. So they had this competition. They were so diving and jumping and kicking and sporting. And the news was given to Prabhupada that the boys were acting pretty wild over there. And there's a room conversation which is readily available to anyone. In September, in Prabhupada's room, not a very significant venue, because it's not a class, it's not directly speaking to the whole world, it's not his books. Prabhupada said, if you want to know me, study my books, and my books will be the law books for ISKCON for the next 10,000 years, all these statements are there. He didn't say my room conversations or my morning walk conversations will be the law book or the standard of niyam and yama and vidhi nisheda. So this is one of those room conversations where there's a handful of Vrindavan devotees are there with Prabhupada. They say, Prabhupada, you know, the devotees are jumping and kicking and being sporting in Radha Kunda. He said, what is this? This Radha Kunda is Radharani. They should not even touch Radha Kunda with their feet. They should just put a drop on their head. Few drops of water. This is Radha Kunda. This is respecting Radha Kunda. So that statement is there. Prabhupada did make that statement. So there are some devotees that, his disciples, that decided to make that a axiomatic truth, that this should become the new law for all of ISKCON. All prior amendments and all prior statements and laws should be rescinded and annulled. And this should be invoked as a new law and order for the society. Now, mind you, and this is, of course, discussed in my Radha Kunda Mahima Madhuri book. Applying all logic and Shastra Yukta, Yukta. Yukta means reason. And Praman means proof of the Shastras. Applying all logic and reason and Shastras and tradition, we see that Prabhupada, he made this statement, but if it was such an important point, and Prabhupada was a little exasperated, he just responded, oh, they're jumping, they're kicking. Why are they doing that? They should stop that. This is this Radhakund is Radharani, they shouldn't even touch their feet to Radharani. So they means they shouldn't touch means they, those devotees who were jumping and sporting in Gaur Pranim Festival 76, they're nonsense. And Prabhupada's not saying the whole world shouldn't bathe. From that small anecdote, you can't draw the conclusion that from this day henceforward, all congregation, all interested people, anyone who comes to ISKCON, it's a blanket law that no one should ever bathe in Radhakund. You can't extrapolate and expand Prabhupada's one small room conversation, commenting on a handful of devotees, 40, 50, 60 devotees. Now, you can't change the whole course of the Siddhanta or the world or the philosophy and behavior of ISKCON based on the misbehavior of 40 or 50 devotees in one random 1976 Mayapur Vrindavan festival where they misbehaved and dishonored Radhakund. So now the whole world should suffer for eternity because of that. Prabhupada is not so shallow-minded or so narrow-minded. And if that was Prabhupada's intention to make it law, then he would have entered that law into his law books. The law books contain the laws. You go to London, you find a civil law of London or civil law of England. It's a big fat book of 50,000 laws in it. Anyone who gets caught their dog passing stool on the street gets fined £29. You know, they have laws. Anyone that parks in a no parking zone pays £100 and gets his car towed to the pound or whatever they call it. So these are laws. So Prabhupada's law books, he made this statement in September 77. He didn't leave this world for a year and 1 month later. He's an author. He has all rights reserved over his books. Why didn't he change the Nectar of Instruction? Nectar of Instruction came out in 1975 in March or so. And there it's... And why didn't he change the Nectar of Devotion? And Nectar of Instruction, Nectar of Devotion, Chaitanya Charitamrita, so many places it proclaims the glories of Radhakund and encourages and induces everyone to bathe there. A matter of fact, says we must, in Nectar Instruction, said one must bathe in Radhakund. And so many statements are there. So Prabhupada wanted to change his book. He could have easily deleted that paragraph or say, yes, everyone should bathe in Radhakund, except members of ISKCON and all congregational people and my followers, my congregation, and from now on, for the rest of the 10,000 years of Lord Chaitanya's movement, no members or followers or well-wishers of my International Society for Krishna Consciousness, they should henceforth never bathe in Radhakund. Just put a few drops in their head, and that's bathing, and that's it. He didn't do it. It's very simple, pragmatic. So he didn't change his books, which means they stand as they are, as it is. The Nectar of Instruction as it is, and Nectar of Devotion as it is. So... As it is, they say bathe in Radhakund. And one purport Nectar Instruction Prabhupada says seven times. He says seven times one must bathe in Radhakund. So how, with all this logical, reasonable, historical, traditional evidence, and especially Shastra Praman, how anyone can draw the conclusion that one should not bathe in Radhakund? Bathe means, as bathe, everyone knows, submerge the body in a body of water, or fully cover the body with water. This is bath. How anyone draws a conclusion from this evidence that one should not bathe is beyond my imagination. I cannot understand. Taking this statement, this minority statement, this momentary statement of Prabhupada's outburst of disgust or frustration with his errant disciples, and he's running with that as a philosophy for now on for all his followers. It mystifies me, because I am a follower of Shastra. I'm a follower of tradition. I consider myself a follower of my guru, Srila Prabhupada. And guru, Shastra, and sadhu. All the sadhus bathe in Radhakund. They always have, they always will, all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. All the Gaudiya Vaishnavacharyas tell their followers to bathe in Radhakund, respectfully and properly, when devotionally, not jumping, sporting. And they all tell them to worship Radhakund and honor Radhakund and to bathe there. And no one anywhere there is not one Gaudiya Vaishnav or one Gaudiya Vaishnav Acharya that says there is such a thing as an Atman bath. It does not exist. People say, I took an Atman bath. There's nothing called Atman snan. Atman is, you take three drops, a spoonful or three spoonfuls of water, put it in your hand, you look at your hand, you chant the mantras into the water, and you sip it through the ear of the cow of your hand and that cow ear mudra. Okay, when you drink water, you drink through this side. When you drink water, you go like this.
Yes.
You ever drink water? You go like this, yes? You don't go like this. Because this is for drinking. This is contaminated, this mound. This is Gomukh. So when it comes through, this is the cow's ear, and it comes through here, Gomukh. It's like Ganga. It's just this mudra makes water Ganga. So, yeah, taking Ashwan just to purify the mouth or to purify the body before puja, it's not a snan. It's to put a few drops on your head. That's showing honor to Radha Kund or to any Kund or to any sacred body, even the ocean, before entering. That's just respect. It's not a snan. Eat a meal, and you take one drop of sweet rice. That's a meal of sweet rice? Yes, I had a full meal. Yeah, three drops. You eat a full meal, or you take three drops. It's a full meal. Yes? You take three drops of sweet rice, or, you know, kachori, sweet rice, sabji, puri, everything. Both are a full meal. They're equal value. Well, it's very economical. We'll tell all the temple president, just serve out three drops of sweet rice on Sunday feast and tell everybody it's a full meal. Just, you know, you get the full benefit. People might say, well, wait a minute. I'd rather have the other kind of full meal. Right. So you say, oh, you take three drops on your head. You know, it's a mental bath. It's better. Okay, fine. Then you eat three drops. You eat three drops of sweet rice at the Sunday feast. A meal, a full meal is a full meal. Snan is a snan. There's not too much debate about that. Bhaktisiddhanta, he didn't bathe apparently. He said, oh, this is Radharani. He saw that these waters are like Radharani. But there's Anusaran and Anukaran. Somebody who was in a very high state, they made it stop chanting japa and just sit down in full lotus and meditate, do smaran all day. So we can imitate that. Stop chanting our japa and do smaran, just think of lila smaran all day. We'll fall asleep or meditate on food. Is that clear?
Yes, Maharaj.
I mean, every guru is an individual with his own viewpoint and attitude and bhav and realizations and understandings of all these tattvas and truths and activities. And the main thing is, in all these situations, dealing with many gurus and many disciples and many friends from different sides, is to maintain peace. There's no point. You should just be clear about your own path and then just keep quiet. That's my basic idea. What's the point of making waves? You say, oh, you know, my guru says you shouldn't bathe in Radha Kund. You know, oh, that's nice. That's very nice. That's all. I'm not going to say I'm falling this sad. I'll speak truth. But I'm like, say, oh, but my guru does. Well, yeah, but my guru, that's a big fist fight. I don't want to talk to you anymore. You know, people are so small-minded and narrow-minded. What's the point? So then one learns to be a good social diplomat. There's diplomacy, you know, political diplomat. The guy's a diplomat. That's his name. He's a politician. He's called a diplomat. Political diplomacy. There's also something called social diplomacy, institutional diplomacy. When in Rome, you know, just know how to keep the peace. The main thing is, you know, if we have ego and we want to do one-upmanship and we want to argue and assert ourselves and we really believe in the truth and, you know, we want to, what's the point? What's the value? Even if you explain to someone very convincingly and with Shastra, but as they say in America, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. For example, someone is dead set against, oh no, you shouldn't bathe in Radha Kund, it's no good. Then you explain all the things I said. He said, that sounds reasonable. So what do you think? You'll bathe in Radha Kund? No. The Prabhupada said, if you have an argument with someone and if he's defeated, if you defeat someone in an argument, then Prabhupada said, if he's a gentleman, Prabhupada said, if the person you've defeated in argument is a gentleman, then he will accept it and surrender to your argument and surrender. If he's not a gentleman, then he'll just keep arguing, or he'll refuse to surrender, even though you show, he'll refuse to surrender because he's not a gentleman. He's a hardhead or something, a rockhead. And he's just attached, and he's proud, and he's not really a gentleman. Keshava Kashmiri was arguing with Lord Chaitanya, but then he saw he was defeated, and he surrendered to Nimai Pandit. He gave up his lordship as a Digvijay and said, you, my boy, are the Digvijay. Please let me become your disciple. Please let me. Just like this. But in the modern-day world, no one's going to surrender to anybody, and someone may try or make a small attempt at surrender when they meet a guru. Even that's very rare, but it's the age we live in. People are all quite proud and convinced that whatever they are, it's perfect. Whatever they think, it's perfect. And whatever they say, it's perfect. And in most cases, they're perfectly wrong. But they're too proud and obstinate to admit it. It takes a lot of courage and a lot of submission to say I'm wrong, or I'm sorry, or I don't know. No one wants to say I don't know. Can't say.